into this room at your own risk. Because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has refinements, technological advances.
Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network with your host, Tom Metzger.
Oh, no, it's not the Insurgent Radio anymore. It's White Aryan Resistance Radio. White Aryan Resistance. P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Right here in North Central Indiana, right near Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse and Filling Station. And that's right next door to our Weapons of Mass Destruction, Used Equipment Yard, Used Heavy Equipment Yard. We're bringing them in here from all over the place, and they're moving out of here fast, man. Yeah, we'll give you a free paint job if you pay cash. That's true. Then we'll even give you a case of beer to take with you on the way home on your 18-wheeler, man. That's it. And then go up to resist.com on the internet, Cloudy, and learn everything you can about race so you never forget it and you can teach your kids. And that's what you should be doing. And don't be apologetic for being a white racist separatist at all. You should be proud of being that, and your kids should be proud of you for being that. That's right. Well, I've got great news, boys and girls. The Vietnamese government says that they'll let you adopt a little slant-eyed Vietnamese now. They refuse to allow Americans to adopt Vietnamese. Can you believe that? With hundreds of thousands of orphaned Vietnamese running around that they wouldn't want to get rid of. Wow. Oh, yeah. And you can get a Vietnamese kid that has special needs. Yeah, maybe one you can wheel around in a wheelchair. Make all your friends at the church say, you're a wonderful man. You must be a Jesus-loving man, right? So step right up and get yourself a little chinky-winky. I went to a memorial for a friend of mine who we went to high school together this morning. I went out to the cemetery and said hello to his mother and father and brothers and so forth. And it was nice, except they had a preacher there. Now, this guy, I don't think even knew my friend, because my friend had lived for a long, long time out in Nebraska, and this guy was a local yokel. Now, he got up there, and he said about two words about my friend, and the rest was nothing but a goddamn advertisement for the church. Did you ever think of that? Almost all these funerals and stuff, and weddings and everything else, most of the time is spent selling the church and mysticism and the baby Jesus. Not talking about my friend. They had a nice write-up on him in the local paper, and if the preacher would have just read that, or someone could have just read that, it'd be fine. But I had to listen to all this bullshit from not only the New Testament and believing that somebody rose from the grave and all that stuff, but I had to listen to talking about the great Old Testament. And Solomon and all those kind of people. Yeah, so I was. It's a good thing I bit my tongue and kept my mouth shut, because the people feel guilty if they don't. They're immersed in this Jesus stuff here. Mind control center on every corner, and sometimes two. And they feel guilt if they don't go that way, even if they don't feel that way. they're too cowardly and too embarrassed to say it. So there this thing went on for not a long time, about 20 minutes. And I heard his name mentioned once, my friend. That was it. Nothing about what he had, or almost nothing about what he had done in his life, what he'd achieved in his life, and all that kind of stuff. He'd done quite a few things. He joined the Air Force the same time I joined the Army. And he accomplished quite a bit as an airman. But I didn't hear it at this cemetery get-together. That drives me crazy. I just want to walk up and knock the hell out of the preacher, maybe hang him from a tree or something. That's how I feel about it. Let's be honest. You probably feel that way, too. You just feel like going up there and kicking the shit out of this guy that's trying to just advertise for his little con game and this baby Jesus stuff. But anyhow, otherwise, it was nice, a nice day, sun shining, nice atmosphere. As I walked out of the cemetery, I was looking to a lot of these headstones, saw a lot of names on there that I have known, and people whose history in this town go back 100 years or better. So it's interesting. Sometimes I think it pays to go down to a cemetery, especially in a town where you're familiar, and walk around and look at the names and see if they correspond to people you've known or the families you've known, because it's amazing. It is amazing. Well, they're out there having ceremonies for the Twin Tower destruction. And they're still going on with it. Well, how did you feel about it? I didn't feel anything about it. I remember that when Wyatt Kaldenberg called me on the phone, "Oh, Tom, the Twin Towers are falling down." And I said, "Oh, okay. I guess the chickens are coming home to roost, aren't they?" That's exactly what I said. And I was quoted in the New York Times saying the same thing. Now, the first place, the World Trade Center has nothing to do with you. It's full of nothing but world trade and so forth and the banks and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't have anything to do with your daily life. It's like a foreign country in a building. And a good share of the people who died in that building weren't even Americans. Yeah, I saw a list of them. There was a hell of a lot of them that weren't even Americans. But I've got to admit to you, I didn't feel anything. I felt maybe a little anguish for the firemen and people who went in there to try to save these people. I can understand empathy for that. And I could get a feeling of dread when I think of these guys hanging from the outside of the building and dropping all those floors to the basement or to the floor or to the street. I get feelings about that, how horrible that must have been. But, and what would I have done about it? Well, I wouldn't have sit around and cried about it. The first thing I'd have done if I had the power, and if I was the Presidente, I would have dropped a bomb on Saudi Arabia. First thing, I'd have wiped out the Saudi Arabian system. Because I don't care what they say, who says what and all that. Saudi Arabia has been behind all kinds of mischief in the Middle East. They're one of the key players in the Middle East. And if we had bombed the shit out of Saudi Arabia and then backed off, I'd have been a happy person. But I don't put out a flag and fly it at half mast, all that kind of nonsense. The people, they got to have something to feel bad about. You notice that? They love to feel bad. So when anything like this happens with those Twin Towers, well, that's a good reason to feel bad, you know. And they go on and on and on and on about it. I guess that's just the way the common man is, you know. Anyhow, that's the way I think about it. I don't give a shit whether the Twin Towers went down or not. I don't. Now, there's plenty of people out there going to say, Metzger, you're a cold-hearted bastard. No, I'm not. For the people I love and the people I care about and the places I care about, I wouldn't want to see him drive a big airplane like that into my county courthouse here. Now, that would make me feel bad. I would really feel bad about that, because there's probably a lot of people in there I know, and plus it's a beautiful building. But as far as the Twin Towers, I don't give a shit. And if you give a shit, you better think over your feelings about a lot of things, because there's things that need to be done, and when somebody does it, don't sit around and cry about it. Say, well, you know, we've been bombing the shit out of the Middle East forever, seems like. And so, no matter who did the Twin Towers, I mean, so what? Was it retribution? I don't know. If it was Arabs, it was partly retribution. But Americans don't see that. Say, oh, we can bomb the shit out of everybody in the world. We can have bases in every country around the world. We can spend billions and trillions on warfare. But if they do, somebody does it back to us, well, that ain't fair, man. You're a terrorist. If we don't like you, you're a terrorist. If we like you, you're a freedom fighter. And you're wonderful. I happened to catch a rerun of some of the clips from the Benghazi situation, or the what happened over there. Well, they show the clip of Gaddafi being murdered by his own people. Now, he was a victim. He was a hard man, but he was a victim also because of probably weather war and the causing of tremendous dry spell in agriculture in his country, to the point where they ran totally out of grain, and he was buying it on the world market. And gradually, they were closing him off to buying on the world market for his people. And so, like in many cases, when the people population get really pissed, they turn on whoever they can turn on. But these were these people that we don't know exactly who they were working for or anything, but they probably were the fanatic Islams that murdered Gaddafi. Gaddafi did a lot of good for those people. The king before him was able to make a deal to sell oil that Jew out there in California. Yeah, Arm and Hammer. Yeah, he made a deal. If Arm and Hammer could get him a great source of water for his village there in the country near the king's hometown, he'd give him rights to the oil. So that's how that worked. But they used a lot more of that money to help the people in the country than these other countries did. And he improved education. Women had the highest educational level in the Middle East. So first the United States hated him because he was for his own people. Then they loved him, and then they allowed him to be killed, murdered, and they hated him. That's a sad situation. It's too bad I missed out when I was invited to go over there to Gaddafi land. And due to some funny stuff, and also I had court appearings in Los Angeles. I didn't get to go, but I regret that I did not get to meet Gaddafi. Now, he came out with this little green book at one time, and it was very popular around the world, and it was basically National Socialism. Gaddafi was basically pitching a form of National Socialism, which most people could recognize and knew what the score was. Well, before I get wound up in some other long, boring story for you, I'm going to put Sling Blade on here, one of his shows. I've got a whole box of them over here, and see what he's got to say. Now, there's no date on this show, so we don't know exactly what he was talking about or who he was talking about or anything else. We're just going to run it, and I hope you enjoy it. Sling Blade.
I often wonder, have you guys ever heard of subliminals? According to legend, I heard that this was true, actually, that the soundtrack, there's a soundtrack of pigs being slaughtered at a slaughterhouse. Recorded, a track of pigs being slaughtered at a slaughterhouse. That is in The Exorcist, the movie from 1973 with Linda Blair as a 12-year-old girl. That track of the pigs being slaughtered is in that movie, but it's played at such a low decibel you can't hear it, but yet supposedly your subconscious can pick it up. Now, I'm wondering if there are subliminals. I mean, I heard subliminals can affect our behavior. So I'm wondering if there's rampant subliminals in our programming, in our TV programming, in our news. It's on a track. It's a message that's being played on a track over and over again that we can't hear with our natural ear, our ears, but our subconscious picks it up. Have you guys ever heard of that? Subliminals? They say grocery stores use them. Many stores use them. The stores that report the least amount of thefts and burglaries or whatever. I've heard of stores using a track that's piped in with the elevator type of music that's in a shopping center, a store, like a Walmart. And on that track is a person saying, you don't want to steal from our store. Our store's here to help you. Help support your store if you see any suspicious activity. I mean, a message like that. You can't hear it with your natural ears, but supposedly your subconscious can pick it up. Now, I'm wondering, because the way white people are so passive within the last, let's say, 3 decades, I wonder if we're being subliminally influenced somehow. That's not totally out of the realm of possibility. So before you dismiss me as a loon, think about it. We start off by reading from William Gailey Simpson's Which Way Western Man. And what more can man know about intimates and absolutes? These big words he uses to talk about them. Infinite, eternal, unchangeable, truth. What are they but a means by which man hides, even from himself, the fact that he does not know about such things and cannot know about them, that knowledge about such things simply is not given to man. Most men believe because without believing they could not live. They would go into a panic at the thought of undertaking amidst uncertainty all around them to make sure that their course in life by a certainty and a strength that they found only inside themselves. Their beliefs about ultimates are an unconscious device by which they hide the inscrutableness of existence from their own eyes, and hide from themselves also the fact that they are hiding, the fact that they are afraid and weak and are running for cover. But my search for reality was pitiless, and I was willing, I thought, to pay to any price. I wanted no fool's paradise or any saints. I could not stand the thought of buying peace at the cost of honesty. My search might lead me to a region where life would be more austere and more stark. That I should not mind. But if there were amid the shifting sands of human existence any rock that so ran down into the very foundations of the universe that it could be counted on to withstand any storm that all the fury of the elements might hurl against it, then I wanted to find it. What it was to be found in the mystical experience. Most men believe in some things, life and hereafter, because they need it. It's a crutch. All right, due to our long metal intro, which I want to apologize for, but not really, I'll be reading from the first issue of the Paranoid Newsletter. Let's face it, America's a police state. Anything the government doesn't like is now considered terrorism. Don't expect the Constitution to save you. It's worthless paper. If the Constitution was worth the paper it was written on, there wouldn't be warrantless searches and wiretaps. And the FBI wouldn't have the authority to perform sneak and peek searches. Do you know what a sneak and peek search warrant is? Have you ever heard of a national security letter? Sneak and peek search warrant. A search warrant authorizing law enforcement officers to secretly break in and enter into a person's home or business without the owner or the occupant's permission or knowledge, and to clandestinely search the premises. Any crime, including misdemeanors, may be used to justify a sneak and peek warrant. This is what they do when you're at home, or when you're not at home, you know, when you're at work. Best time for them to do this would be during the daytime. Most people are at work, so you don't have to worry. There's less of a chance their next door neighbor knowing about this. National security letter. A warrant-like document invented as a method of circumventing the Rights in Financial Privacy Act in 1978. The Patriot Act permits those NSLs, as national security letters, to be issued without consulting a judge, merely a law enforcement supervisor. It's frequently used to obtain private records of Americans' internet service providers, financial institutions, and telephone companies. NSLs contain a gag order that prevents the recipient from consulting the lawyer or notifying the target of investigation. That is right. I think I read about that in that Napolitano book, Nation of Sheep. An internal FBI audit found that the Bureau violated the rules more than 1,000 times in an audit of 10% of its national investigations between 2002 and 2007. Over 20 of these involved requests by agents for information that U.S. law did not permit them to have. In fact, the FCC, the government department that licensed manufacturers of radio products, claims they have the authority to inspect your home without a warrant at any time. If you have a cell phone, CB radio, or anything else that uses radio waves, the FCC claims it can enter your home at any time to inspect it. Donald Winton, the operator of a CB rebroadcasting and AM radio station, refused to let the FCC official in his house, but did turn off the radio. Winston was fined $7,000 for refusing the FCC official entry into his house. Remember, the FCC officially is not a police officer. Well, remember, the FCC official is not a police officer. The fine was reduced to $225 after he proved that he had little income. Fortunately, the best FCC can do is to give you a fine. This newsletter will teach you how to protect your home and office from illegal searches, your gun ownership rights, your financial records, your home, vehicle, and cash. How to have wiretap-proof communications. Learn how the government is recording your every move and how to stop it. Like you say, this guy puts out these things. A freaking genius. First order of business is to get your mind right. Take all your thoughts of legal protection, fair play, honesty, good faith, cooperation, and throw them right out the window. Now let's start clean with a new set of assumptions about the government. The government wants to do the following. Control everyone and everything on the internet. Take away the savings of the entire nation through inflation. Pump propaganda into your home through biased journalism. Scare the entire American population into signing away its rights. Permit a massive inflow of Latino illegal immigration into the U.S. Brainwash and dumb down children in public school and deter homeschooling. Take control of health care decisions and provide medical records and private medical records in the United States. Record every number you dial and monitor every step you take by tracking the E911 GPS in your cell. Monitor financial transactions through credit card records, bank records, currency transaction reports, etc. And register, ban, and ultimately confiscate all privately owned firearms, at least any firearm good for self-defense. In this newsletter, we refer to the enemy as the KGB. They're long since disbanded, but they represent the worst-case scenario, an adversary of nearly unlimited funds, no qualms about breaking the law, and nearly unlimited governmental authority. Simply put, the KGB is the ultimate enemy. If you can stand up to the KGB level scrutiny, you have nothing to worry about. These tips are only a start, but go a long way. Basic tactics to combat the KGB, otherwise known as the FBI. Safeguard your rights to own a firearm. Implement these steps immediately before firearms are banned. Use several high-powered firearms and bury them in watertight containers in the ground. Use gun show loopholes to buy firearms from individuals directly, hassle-free. Buy a substantial amount of ammunition, especially hollow point and specialty ammunition. Especially ammunition like rhino ammo. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that. It can go through bulletproof vests, I guess. It's black tipped. I think it's called black talon. I don't know. Buy a substantial amount of ammunition. Okay. Buy high capacity magazines. Buy mail order black powder firearms, hassle free. Don't have gun products sent to your home address. Don't be associated or affiliated with any gun ownership organizations. Don't keep one or more guns in your home. Keep the cash. Keep them cached away in case the KGB seizes or bans them. Use Pelican brand waterproof cases to ensure your guns are safe underground. Wrap these cases in heavy-duty trash bags to keep the case clean. You either want to go to Menards or Home Depot, and what you want are contractor bags. They're black trash can liners, and they're very thick. They're thicker than anything that you use in your house for trash. I think they're called, they're called contractor bags. Contractor trash bags. I'm almost positive that's what they're called. So do that. You know, everything you said about what the government wants to do is absolutely correct. They want to control us. They want to take away, they fleece us of our money through the IRS, the Federal Reserve, the inflation. They pump propaganda into your home, day in and day out, and into your schools. They scare the American population, giving up their rights with what I think are orchestrated terrorist attacks. They permit a massive flow of non-whites into our land so we don't have any racial solidarity anymore. They brainwash and dumb down our children in public school, and they're almost making it impossible for homeschooling. They take control of the health care so they can kind of dangle that over our heads, I guess. They want to know who we're calling on the phone. They want to be tracking us with our GPS. They want to monitor our financial transactions. Make no mistake about it, they're going to go for the guns. We'll probably live to see it. Don't let anyone know about your extra firearms and that you are interested in firearms. You know, what this guy has to say about firearms is right on. I like what he says, that don't be affiliated with any gun ownership groups. Do not join the freaking NRA. I tried to tell my brother-in-law that, but he won't listen. He's in another generation now, so. Want anyone know about your extra firearms and your interested in firearms? Buy shotgun news magazines to get good deals and hard-to-find items. All right, safeguard your computer. Do not use Microsoft products. Your whole disk encryption, such as TrueCrypt or PGP encrypt, everything on your PC with a strong password. Use whole disk encryption, okay? Strong passwords are completely random. 45 characters or larger. Use upper and lower case and symbols. Never write down your password. Perhaps burying it in an underground container would be acceptable. Use software that overwrites the unused portion of your hard drive with random information. Overwriting data makes it impossible to recover forensically. Be used to use 7-pass DoD approved software. Use the Apple operating system OS X. Windows is so insecure that it must be replaced entirely. If you must use Windows, use it as a decoy computer which the KGB can steal and think they've got your PC. Buy hardware encryption from Adonix.com, Buslink.com, or similar hardware encryption products. Always use a second layer of software encryption, such as a PGP, or that uses passwords, since your Fifth Amendment right will prevent you from being forced to divulge a password. A physical key can be subpoenaed. Keep confidential information on an encrypted laptop. Try to lock it in a hidden safe. Never leave a running cryptographic system unattended. If the KGB raids you, they can look at everything. Always check to make sure that it isn't hidden, that there isn't a hidden key stroke recorder plugged into your keyboard. Communicate securely between bitwisem.com, bitwisem.com, encrypted instant messages. Use encrypted soft offshore proxy servers to establish an SSL encrypted link. Consider storing all confidential data in encrypted form on a wireless hard disk. I'm only reading like the first sentence of every paragraph. I think Wall Street or Computer Guy can do better at this. When using strong encryption, you must use high security tamper-proof seals on all your equipment. Okay. Always smash and burn a hard disk, CD, or other computerized media when discarding it. Always erase and overwrite or otherwise destroy obsolete or unnecessary copies of confidential information. Always update your computer with security patches. Safeguard your home against illegal searches. Buy high security anti-bump locks, such as a commercial medical lock for the front and back door. Don't use a home version. Medical keys are harder to duplicate and are extremely lockpick resistant. Pin all your windows. What does that mean? I wonder. Scan all paper records that must be kept and stored them in an encrypted computer that does not connect to the internet. Burn or shred the originals. If it's not connected to the internet, I guess it can't be hacked, I guess. Very smart. Use a metal container to burn confidential information, such as a metal waste basket. If you have a fireplace, place the container inside when burning. If you choose to use a shredder, use at least a cross-cut shredder. A micro-cut is better still. Always stir the ashes when burning paper. Adding water makes the ashes disintegrate. Hide confidential items inside home made hiding spots. A junk VCR bought from a thrift store can become an excellent place to hide your goodies. Put it in with your other stereo equipment and no one will suspect a thing. If you're tech savvy, build a small computer like a Mac Mini into the VCR case, and it's a disguised PC. Just use wireless keyboard and mouse and an HDTV for the monitor. Add void tamper seals to complete the disguise. This guy's a fucking genius. Be careful about having controversial material at home where it could be found by the KGB. Don't forget, KGB means FBI. Pornography, racist literature, gun magazines, unpopular religious material. Well, we can scratch pornography, personally. And all sorts of legal but controversial material should be well hidden. Get the book on How to Hide Anything from Michael Connor. I read that book. It's very good. Now, it depends on what you mean by pornography. You know, women shoving things up in their orifices. I don't like that stuff. But, you know, a naked picture of a woman posing gracefully, that is not pornography. With a little effort and expense, you can hide cash, armaments, and even family from menacing eyes of burglars, terrorists, or anyone. Learn how to construct dozens of hiding places right in your house and yard. There are small hiding places for concealed money and jewelry, and large places for securing survival supplies or persons. More than 100 drawings show how to turn ordinary items into extraordinary hiding places. Also read How to Be Invisible by J.J. Luna. Visit his website with discussion forums at howtobeinvisible.com. Learn to use Pelican cases to hide important things in the backyard underground. They are 1,000 times safer under a little dirt in the backyard rather than being in the house for the KGB to find. Right. Safeguard your money. Invest in gold, silver, platinum, palladium, bullion. Bullion can be redeemed anywhere. For local currency, and inflation will never eat away at the price of precious metals. BullionDirect.com is an excellent place to buy. Hold most of our cash outside of a bank. Keep your cash and bullion safe and hidden away rather than keeping all your money in a bank where it can be seized by the IRS, creditors, or the KGB. Don't use credit cards or write checks. They show how much money you spend. Where you spend it, and credit cards in particular can give detailed accounts of the things you buy. Never use credit cards. This guy is very, very right on. He's spot on. If someone opened a bank account, say a corporate bank account, and kept your name off the records, you could use ATM cards to withdraw cash and to deposit money into the bank. By using ATMs, you can conduct virtually all your banking with a machine instead of a person who would ask for an ID. Prepaid debit cards can be used to make telephone and online purchases safely. Prepaid cellular phones can be used to prevent invasion of your privacy and can be discarded on an instant. Use money orders rather than checks when possible. Some organizations like stockbrokers don't like getting money orders too often. Throw in some cashier's checks, regular checks from friendly bank accounts, and other varying payment methods to prevent looking like a drug dealer or money launderer. Never move money in any amount that would trigger a currency transaction report. Stay well under $10,000 when doing business whenever possible. It sets off reports to the IRS. That's right, I heard about always stay under $10,000. Set up LLCs to own things for you. The book How to Be Invisible by J.J. Luna explains the very easy process. Your company can own houses, cars, planes, just about anything imaginable. When a policeman runs the tag on your car, he will see your information. When they run the tags on a company car, they see nothing but the owner as the company. Your tags will be invisible. This can easily be done on just about anything, including utility bills, which can be used to track you. Always keep a little checking account open with a small amount of money in it. It is a thermometer to see if anyone tries to seize your assets. you'll be put on notice, and it will only cost you a mere $30 deposit. Don't fall into debt slavery. Do anything you can to prevent giving out a Social Security number. It's the standard way to track you down. If you can work for cash, can be self-employed, or work out some other friendly arrangement, do it. Do everything possible to reduce your taxes. The government uses your tax money to do evil. Mail order and imported cigarettes. Rolling your own cigarettes. Brewing your own beer. Wine prevents the government from getting the tax revenue. Social Security is a fraudulent Ponzi scheme. Well freaking said. Do everything you can to avoid it. Make a bug out bag. Holy cow, he called it bug out bag. I wonder if he's been listening to Ghost World Radio. No, I didn't term it bug out bag. I heard it from someone else. A backpack with bottled water, canned food, survival knife, money, matches, clean set of sturdy clothes, etc. Designed to hold you out for 72 hours in the event of an emergency. Always have this bag ready. Well said.
I like this guy.
I want to buy this guy a beer. No, I don't want to meet anybody.
What the hell? Hold on a second.
Pages got out of order there, sorry. Learn about food storage from the Mormons. Every member has a year's supply of food just in case. Safeguard your privacy. Set up a front to receive mail. Use commercial mailboxes, remailers, P.O. boxes, front locations, and other tricks explained in How to Be Invisible to Act as Your Official Address. Consider paying an RV grounds to receive your mail and act as a home address when you're on the road. Think room for rent for a front address. Never let your true name be associated with your true address. Don't even order pizza with your true name. Want to start fresh? Move to a new state. Change your name in that state and then move again. Don't bother changing your driver's license until you are in the final state. Also consider that Arizona has driver's licenses that only expire on your 65th birthday. Wow, very cool. Random tip: need to visit a doctor confidentially. Visit a doctor and pay cash. Use a fake name and give false information for everything. None of the information is necessary if you're paying cash, especially the Social Security number. Cash patients don't need that bit of information. Get checked out and never give out your true identity. Filling a prescription is also completely hassle-free. Worst case, if you have trouble, mail order the prescription next day or 2 days. You can also ask the doctor for free samples of the medicine you need. What to do if the police want to talk to you? Good morning, my name is Investigator Holmes. Do you mind answering a few questions? If you go to your door one day and you are greeted with these words, stop and think whether it is the local police or the FBI at your door. You have certain legal rights of which you ought to be aware of before you proceed any further. In the first place, when the law enforcement authorities come to see you, there are no simple questions unless they are investigating a traffic accident. You can be sure that they want information about somebody, and that somebody may be you. Rule number one to remember when confronted by the authorities is that there is no law requiring you to talk to the police, the FBI, or representative of any investigative agency. Even the simplest questions may be loaded, and the seemingly harmless bits of information which you volunteer may later become vital links in a chain of circumstantial evidence against you or a friend. Don't invite the investigator into your home. Such an invitation not only gives you the opportunity to look around for clues to your lifestyle, friends, and reading material, but also tends to prolong the conversation. The longer the conversation, the more chance there is for a skilled investigator to find out what he wants to know. Never open your door to an officer. They can shove their way in. Don't open your door with the chain lock on either. Police are known to kick in doors. I should add that when you let a police officer in your house, then he is automatically authorized to do a weapon search, supposedly for his own protection. and this can lead to all kinds of problems. Many times the police officer will ask you to accompany him to the police station to answer a few questions. Often, the authorities simply want to photograph a person for identification purposes, a procedure which is easily accomplished by placing him in a private room with a two-way mirror, asking him a few simple questions. Wow. A lot of good stuff here. A lot of good stuff. Question, and then releasing him. Never agreed to go to the police station. Simply say, I have nothing to say. If the investigator becomes angry at your failure to cooperate and threatens you with arrest, stand firm. He can't legally place you under arrest or enter your home without a warrant signed by a judge. There are exceptions to this, however, as in instances where he has witnessed you commit a crime. And there are times, too, where he can enter without showing a warrant up front, known as a no-knock entry. However, if he indicates that he has such a search warrant, ask to see it. We've heard of cops waving a piece of paper around claiming it's a warrant. A person under arrest or located on the premises will be searched generally, must be shown a warrant if he requests it, and must be given a chance to read it. Without a warrant, an officer depends solely upon your helpfulness to obtain the information he wants. So, unless you are quite sure of yourself, don't be helpful. No, don't fool yourself into thinking you can talk or lie your way out of this situation. Don't be smug and think all cops are stupid, and you can pull a fast one. Most police are smart individuals, they're good at what they do, and the only thing you will do is talk yourself into jail. Yeah, guys, they go through intensive training on how to interrogate people, how to read body language, all that stuff. Don't even get yourself in that situation. Remember, talk is cheap, but when it involves law enforcement authorities, it may cost you or someone close to you dearly. Remember the five words, I have nothing to say. It has worked for us many times. It has worked for us many, many times, and it will work for you. There is never, ever a situation where talking to the police can help you. In court, any favorable statement to law enforcement is considered hearsay and is inadmissible. Security seals offer serious security. Have you ever tried to open up a computer system with a warranty sticker sealing the removable cover to the frame? As soon as you open the computer case, the warranty seal separating. Alright, I don't know if I'm going to read this. I don't think I should be the one to talk about security stuff. Holographic security seals deter someone from opening your equipment and alert you if your equipment has been tampered with internally. We offer holographic seals with serial numbers. They are translucent and others are opaque. Security seals on computer equipment are rather uncommon and will completely surprise you, your would-be spy. Okay. I recommend you place two different types of seals on each part of the case. Okay, computer guy, please fill in the voids what I'm talking about. Cables can be marked distinctly with a UV pen, ultraviolet pen. Very cool. Be sure to examine the keyboard connectors to the keyboard and the computer system to ensure an attacker has not secretly installed a keystroke recording device. P.S. The Department of Defense actually considers a good holographic serialized seal as tamper evident as a very high quality lock that will cost hundreds of dollars. Whatever. Alright. Threats you never thought existed but are still easier than cryptanalysis. The following are real-world extreme attacks against hardened systems. Generally, the only way to defeat string encryption is to cheat. Hire a cat burglar to put a keylogger on a computer is infinitely easier than brute force cryptanalysis. Also, bribing someone $50,000 for keys to your encryption would be a tremendous savings compared to cryptanalysis of the 128-bit triple DES and EAS military-grade ciphers. Okay, he's still talking about computer stuff here. Keep your secure computer offline. Apple machines are excellent. Use a different one for the internet. Use strong password-based software encryption. Use strong hardware token-based encryption. Put tamper seals with serial numbers on all hardware, and ideally lock the computer in a safe. Use high-security medical brand locks on your door to your computer room. Prevent sneak-ins. Medical brand locks, I've heard about those. M-E-D-E-C-O, Medico. Check for hidden transmitters, bugs in your rooms you operate in. Work in a room that doesn't have a window. Destroy hard disks, CDs, backup tapes before discarding them. Laptops are the best because they are extremely portable and easily locked in safes or rooms. All right, coming down to a close here. So what could they do? In order of likelihood, break in or barge in, and secretly or blatantly copy the data from your hard drive or steal the hard drive on a portable hard drive and sneak out or walk out with a copy of your data to read plain text or analyze for weak passwords, etc. Also, looking for sticky notes with passwords on them, etc. This attack is devastating and extremely successful. This is the number one attack performed by private investigators, hackers, law enforcement, and spouses. Replacing your keyboard with a bugged version which appears identical but saves everything you type on a clip. This attack is devastating and extremely successful. This is the number two attack performed by private investigators, hackers, and law enforcement and spouses. Debugging devices are inexpensive and commercially available. Install or trick you into installing Trojan horses and virus software can secretly transmit data over the internet or disables computer encryption or software encryption. It is believed that the FBI CyberKnight program is designed to capture keystrokes, including passwords, to encrypted files and other private data. This attack is a real threat. Software designed to compromise Windows-based PCs is freely available on the commercial market. Take discarded CDs and hard drives out of the trash you set outside on the curb. Put a hidden video camera where it can be observed, where it can observe your monitor. This attack is devastating and extremely successful. This is a common attack performed by private investigators. Wait a minute. Putting a hidden video camera where it can be where it can observe your monitor. This attack is devastating and extremely successful. This is a common attack performed by private investigators and whatever. Listening to the different sounds made when striking different keys on a keyboard and using spell check software to correct an error. This attack has been performed in the field by intelligence agencies against typewriters since the 1970s at best. Graduate students have released source code permitting anyone to exploit this security issue. Putting a transmitter in your monitor or keyboard. This is a practical attack for anyone who can substitute or open up your computer hardware. Trojan horse and virus software are secretly transmitted data on LEDs via the LEDs on your keyboard. Alright. Passively listening to electronic noise that comes out of your PC. It says in parentheses, Tempest. These attacks, extremely rare, require very special equipment and require the attacker to be physically close by. These attacks are only performed by federal agencies in major cases, usually foreign espionage, operating a metal box, Faraday cage, whatever. All right, working on a laptop in a closed shipping container would offer outstanding protection. Look up more information about Tempest on the internet. Thank you for reading our first edition. Are you interested in getting the next issue of the Paranoid Newsletter? I hope you guys are. If you enjoyed reading the first edition of Paranoid Newsletter as much as we've enjoyed writing it, we know we just might sound a little out there, but think of what George Washington would say if he were alive today. The government is corrupt, evil, and is constantly playing the terrorism card to pass illegal laws. We need your support to continue operating. The newsletter is, in paper form, is always 5 pages printed on both sides. This is the weight limit for first class mail, priced at 44 cents. If you give us your email address, we'll be happy to give you the newsletter at absolutely no cost, since it's free to send, and we'll pass the savings on to you. If you are a real supporter of our work, however, please ask where to send a donation anyway, because we need to get the message out, and sending first-class mail to potential readers does cost money. Are you a low-tech person? Want the newsletter in paper form? $15 donation will keep you in a year's... All right. What time is it now? It's Grievous time. With British forces occupying the towns by demonstrations and sabotage, General Grievous ordered an island-wide assault. It began on November 18th when more than 50 bombs were thrown in 30 separate attacks throughout Cyprus. By the end of the week, several hundred attacks had been carried out. The main post office in Nicosia was bombed. The bomb simply dropped in a letterbox and half the building was destroyed. An 8-pound bomb carried into the Kaiko military encampment outside of Nicosia in a saddlebag of a bicycle blew the roof off the warrant officers and sergeant's mess and killed 2 sergeants. Army posts at Limassol and Larnaca were attacked. Guerrillas in the Kyrenia range attacked 2 mines and engaged in firefights with the troops detailed to guard them. Mine company trucks carrying dynamite were ambushed, and near Famagusta, 3 military vehicles were blasted off the road, causing the army to stop all military movements on roads at night. Grievous himself led an ambush attack on 2 army trucks, destroyed one, and then withdrew with this squad to a nearby hill and calmly watched as a relief party, which did not appear until 3 hours after the attack, removed the body of the dead soldier from the wreckage. No attempt was made to search the area. A state of emergency was declared throughout the island on November 26th. Police were given extraordinary powers of search and arrest. Strikes were forbidden. The death penalty was imposed for carrying arms. Saboteurs were liable to life imprisonment. British troops responding to the assassination of their comrades in arms, much as the Black and Tans had done in Ireland, vented their feelings on the civilian population. Soldiers stopped farm trucks on the way to the market and dumped their loads of fruit and vegetables out on the road. Search parties invaded private homes, ambushed the occupants, and destroyed their possessions. Suspects were arrested without warrant and held for weeks or months in detention camps without trial. The security forces set about their work, comments Grievous, in a manner which might have been deliberately designed to drive the population to our arms. It had that effect. Grievous had gone into the Trudeau's T-R-O-O-D-O-S. Trudeau's mountains to coordinate guerrilla operations, and on several occasions he narrowly escaped British commandos combing the area where he happened to be hiding. Don't forget, this is a guy who's a little over 60 years old. So we definitely can't use age as an excuse. All we need is the wherewithal and the ball. On one occasion, 2 British forces totaling 700 men lost in the mist on a mountainside closed in on each other as the guerrillas escaped and engaged in a battle with each other that lasted for an hour before they discovered they were fighting. That is very funny. So I had to go back and backtrack it. I said a swear word. And Metzger says he's going to send a hitman over to my house. Take care of me if I use the F-bomb again. All right. But I was talking about how the British were totaling some of the guys and discovered they were shooting at each other because, you know, they were on a mountainside and the guerrillas escaped, but the British soldiers who were supposedly surrounded, the guerrillas were started shooting at each other. There were more than 50 casualties.
Let's see how much time is left.
Let me read one more. On New Year's Day of 1956, Harding broadcast the prediction that the days of the EOKA were numbered. The following day, 800 British troops closed in on a woods where Grivas was thought to be. Spent the entire day combing an area 2 miles square and withdrew with 3 prisoners. Grivas reports, "I was in fact a few miles south of the operations area, watching the progress of the search through binoculars. I was astonished," turning the page, "at the unmethodical way the troops went about their work. On the 22nd of the month, EOKA units simultaneously raided every village on Cyprus in an effort to gather up all of the 7,000 shotguns on an island that were registered with the police. One EOKA man was wounded and a soldier was killed in the raids. More than 800 shotguns were seized, and Grivas proceeded to organize special shotgun units. They were used to harry the British by night, attack army camps, and create diversions for major guerrilla attacks and execute traitors. On February of 1956, the strength of the army had been increased from 4,000 to some 22,000 men. The EOKA by this time had a total frontline strength of 273 men, supported by some 750 part-time guerrillas in the villages, armed only with shotguns. The frontline fighters included 80 men divided into 50 groups in Nicosia, 76 men in Famagusta, and 34 men in Limassol. The three principal towns of the island. The numerical odds were vastly in favor of the British, but Grivas considered the army, supported by 5,000 police, a cumbersome body that provided a wealth of targets, new and old, and in both town and mountain. So it proved. I'll tell you what, say what you want to about this guy. I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff we can learn with the example of the Cypriot insurgents. So we must secure the existence of our people and the future for white children.
Well, that's it for Sling Blade today. How about it? A lot of information there, yeah. Some of it, though, is outdated. You probably noticed that if you're into computers at all. And most of that stuff about encryption, you can forget. That was good at the time, but it's no good anymore. That's it for today. Terrible Tommy's out of here, and I'm clear, and 14-5, and shut up.
They're all unknown soldier who's seen it all before, all in the name of Jesus, behind the razor wire and shackled to the floor. Just keep smiling at the camera and keep that twinkle in your eye. We don't need to know the answers, long as we're safe, just hit your marks and say your lines. You're the man, show 'em what you're made of. You're no longer daddy's boy. Take a stand, give 'em what they paid for. 'Cause you're only Cheney's toy. Lady, say